Look, in America, we were Jews.
We were Jews. That's right. That's right. Okay, gentlemen, we're starting a new week, and we're starting a new parsha, and we're starting a new idea, and we're getting into Hanukkah. And there's a lot to talk about, so in order to talk about it all, we'll just pick one thing to talk about and forget about the rest. One of the things that I'm forced to do as a father on a Friday night when there's no TV to allow my kids to fall asleep with is, of course, give them what I call Abba stories. Once a week, you have the chiyuv to actually tell them stories. So I'm not going to tell them the story of Goldilocks, because that's a terrible story. Goldilocks happens to be a story which talks about, in my opinion, first of all, stealing and theft. Second of all, it talks about running away from your problems. Not a nice story. You have to talk to them about the parsha. It's Friday night, so what do? I have to go into... Yeah, it's not such a good story. You got to think about it. So what do? I go to all these books that talk of the Midrashim. I usually and personally have a different view on how to learn Midrashim. I don't think they have to be taken literally, but ultimately it's a good story, and it's something that's part of our tradition, and it's Chazal, so I try to look for Midrashim to tell my kids on a Friday night. So this week I have to admit that all these years learning Parshat Vayishlach that we just went through, I never knew this story, I never even thought of it. As you remember, in Parshat Vayishlach, it says that Yaakov Avinu was at night over there by Ma'avar Yabok, by the Yabok River, and he has to bring all his stuff over. And it says in the Pasuk that he took all his stuff and his children. What does it say there? He took all his luggage, and he took his wives, and then it says that he also took Achad Asar Yeladav, his 11 children. Now, Binyamin was not born yet at this point. However, how many children does he have prior to Binyamin's birth? 12. Who's missing? Dina. So Rashi asks, where's Dina? It answers, in the luggage. And that was the Abba story I told my kids this week, that she was in the luggage. Now, that's what I told my kids. But then I started looking into Rashi and the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah that Rashi quotes. And if you look inside, you'll see something interesting. Does the Bereishis Rabbah think Yaakov's a hero for doing that? What was Yaakov's reasoning?
He didn't want Esau to see her to go try to marry her.
Right.
Because he might really wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he should have done it. But none of us would really want our daughter to go with such a guy. So
it says exactly what you just said, Bruce, that he put her in the luggage. Shelo yiten ba Esav einav. Esav shouldn't, God forbid, look at her. And therefore Yaakov was punished. Why? Sheminaa me'achiv. Shema tachzireinu lemutav. Maybe she would be able to outreach to Esav, and Esav might have been chozer b'tshuva, but he prevented that from happening, and therefore nafla b'yad Shechem. We all know what happened with her. I looked at this story and I thought that this can explain the entire parsha of Vayeshev that we're about to go into. The beginning of parsha of Vayeshev brings a puzzle that I think each and every one of us think about at least once a week. You come home after a hard day, and by Yeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv, Yaakov is now living in the homeland of his father. Correct? Where is his homeland?
Israel.
Namely, if we look at Parshat Vayishlach, he's living near Hebron, Kiryat, right? Right in this area. What does Rashi say on those words? Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv. Rashi says what I think we all think about once a day. Rashi says that the following. You ready for this? Bikesh Yaakov lashevet bevitcha. Yaakov thought, all my problems are now finished. I went through Esav, I went through Lavan, I went through various problems with Rachel. Now she's unfortunately not with us. Now I'm sitting back in my father's homeland. I am safe, I am secure, nothing will happen. And we all know, once a day we think to ourselves, gentlemen, once a day, halavai, we could just sit at home and nothing will happen, we'll just enjoy life. And that's not what happens. And I think Rashi's comment is ingenious. And I'm going to put these two Rashis together. And I'm going to explain that in my opinion, Yaakov Avinu thought that the way to educate his children is to shut out any potential negative influences that may have crept in to their life. So what does he do? He puts Dina in the luggage so she shouldn't see this negative person called Esav. True, he's my brother. True, he probably has a bris milah. He's not totally out there. True, he grew up in the house of my father, Yitzchak. But he is a negative influence. Shut him out. And the Medrash Rabbah says he was punished for that. Correct. And that shows you something. When Dina finally goes out, she doesn't know how to deal with what she sees. And therefore she gets into deep trouble. She goes off the deep end. Because she never in her life had to deal with anything negative. In this week's Parsha, you begin the Parsha, Yaakov wants to sit safely. He's sitting in the home of his forefathers. Everything is now secure. There's no negative influences. Yitzchak's home is a good Jewish home. And what happens? The minute later, Yosef is fighting with his brothers. On what? We don't know exactly. The Pesukim don't say. But then Yosef has a dream. And they hate him for what? No. Look at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Vayachalom Yosef chalom. Yosef had a dream. Vayaged le'echav. And he told his brothers. What did he tell his brothers? He told them that he had a dream. Period. He goes to his brothers in the morning, and over the Cheerios and milk, or Wheaties, or Rice Krispies, hey guys, last night I had a dream. The minute he says those words, Vayosifu otznoto. They hate him. He didn't say what the dream was. Maybe the dream was the brothers are going to make $1 million. They're going to win the lottery. They hate him for dreaming. Then the next pasuk, Vayomer Alihem Shimuna Chalom Azeh Hashem Chalamti. He, being a genius, says, No, you should hear the dream. And of course, the dream is not the best thing he should tell his brothers that already you're mad at him. However, they hated him for beginning just for dreaming. Now, what did he dream of? What did he dream of? When you dream, you're basically saying, maybe we can do better. Maybe things can get greater. The Gemara in Brachos talks about a dream that will come true is only a dream that you dream about during the day, when you're awake. Namely, it's part of your overall vision, what you want to achieve in life. And ultimately, Yosef is dreaming. The brothers can't stand dreamers. Because dreamers mean that you think that what we have is not enough. Maybe we can do better. And I want to explain that what Yosef was saying in his two dreams was that we could now conquer the world with our Judaism, with our Gestalt. What are the two dreams about? The sun, the moon. What was the sun and the moon representative of in the time of Yaakov Avinu? Avodah Zarah. Yosef comes and says, no, it can be part of our life. We can look at the sun and the moons, and maybe we should say, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem? Could be. There's a danger, maybe not, but it could be. Then he dreams about wheat. What was the profession in Yaakov's family?
Shepherds.
What's the difference between a shepherd and someone dealing with wheat? In order to create bread from wheat, how many malachot do we have? There's 11 malachot of sidura depat. Beautiful, Bruce. From planting the wheat, to cutting it, to sifting it, to finally putting it in the oven. And that's a lot of work. And that's very creative. And that's taking something natural and changing it. Yosef is dreaming we can change the world, we can bring it into our world. And the brothers say, no, we're shepherds. Shepherds deal with sheep. And who do they talk to during the day? God and themselves. They don't have to have any outside influences. And throughout the Parsha of Vayeshev, we see this constantly coming back. The Hashgacha Pratit rang out, as Rav Soloveitchik once said, and said, Yosef was right. Ultimately, the Jewish people had to go down to Egypt, they had to conquer the new world, and they had to bring it into the world of Judaism. And Yosef knew how to deal with outside influences as opposed to Dina, who was hid in that luggage. Who is called Hatzadik?
Yosef.
We don't see Avraham being called a tzaddik and Yitzchak being called a tzaddik. Yosef is a tzaddik. Why? Because in this week's Parsha, what a temptation. He's in Potiphar's home. No one's looking. The wife of Potiphar says, sleep with me. And what does he say? No. Because he knew how to deal with outside influences. He had a good ear to know what is garbage and what is positive. He can look at the TV screen and say, this television show is good, and this television show is garbage. I'm not going to throw out the TV. I'm going to have a sense of distinction between what's good and what's bad, what's garbage and what's not. That very malacha we can't do on Shabbos called borer is what we have to do throughout the week. And that's what I think the whole parsha is trying to teach us. Yaakov tries to create a situation in which the outside influences are shut out. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. He sends Yosef to go see his brothers being shepherds. What does that mean? Go see how they are. Well, what? He was worried about them. What was he basically doing? Snitch, maybe? I'm going to add a new interpretation. Yosef, be influenced by the brothers. They're in our little world. They shut out all the rest. Forget about the sun and the moon and forget about the wheat. Be a shepherd. Go see. Go get influenced by them. Be a shepherd. It's good enough. You make a good parnasa. You have Shabbos and Yontif with the money you make. It's good enough. So Yosef goes. We know what happens. Ultimately, Yosef is a tzaddik. And the brothers somehow are there. They're shifteka. But they're not Yosef a tzaddik. And that's what I think the entire parsha of Vayeshev is trying and attempting to teach us. Yosef was able to bring God into everywhere he went because he didn't say no to the world, he said yes to the world. He's brought down to Egypt and he right away rises to power because he's very talented, and yet, once again, he's able to stand in that temptation. He then goes into prison and once again they make him a leader. And what's his main function we read about? How he brought God into the dreams of the people there. How he was able not to negate the royalty of Egypt, meaning the Sar HaOfim and the Sar HaMashkim, but rather embrace them, bring them closer, say, I have what to offer you, even though you're not Jewish. Yosef went out and said, I'm going to accept the good parts of this world and throw out the garbage. And this brings us to how we began our week. Last night. How did we begin our week last night? A new week of Dala. That's very strange, isn't it? I mean, I can understand Kiddush. Today is holy, and I'm making a statement, today is holy. I can understand Kiddush. But Havdalah means what?
Shavuos is over.
Today is over. Now, when do you ever make... It's over! Let's make a bracha! I would like to suggest that it's not saying Shabbos is over. Havdalah is now saying something else. I heard in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that he once said that Kiddush is the Kiddush for Shabbos and Havdalah is the Kiddush for the week. What does it mean, the Kiddush for the week? What do we say? I don't know what he meant, but I'll tell you my interpretation. What is Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol ben Olde Choshech ben Yisrael Amim? If all you want to say is Shabbos is over, you can say Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. Like we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, Mekadesh Yisrael Vayom HaZikaron. Why do we have to say this whole long paragraph? God, you made a distinction between light and darkness. You made a distinction between this and that, between the Jews and the non-Jews. Now what's this all about? A Jew's about to begin his week. He's going to have endless influences on his life, and they're going to seep into his life. From Esav's, to wheat, to sun and the moon, to internet sites, to things that come through the telephone, to things that come through the television set. What does a Jew have to develop as he begins the week? He has to make a statement. I am going to have a sense of distinction, a sense of havdalah, between what's positive and what's negative, between what's proper for me to listen to and what's improper for me to listen to. And that's why we begin the week with that statement, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. We take a Havdalah candle. We know what fire can do. Fire can either burn down a building or give light. Fire can, God forbid, destruct or construct. Every good factory around the world that you see making something, what does it have out of its chimney? Smoke. Now, if you negate fire and say it could do bad, well, all production will come to a halt. But if you say it depends how you use fire, then ultimately you're following in the footsteps of Yosef HaTzadik. If you go ahead and say television is out, I can respect that. But I am worried in this day and age if you say television is out because there are junky shows on television and garbage, and internet is out because it's amazing. On the same internet site, you can be listening to this shir that I'm recording right now, and with a click of a mouse, you can go to a pornography site within seconds. So you could say internet is out. And the cell phone. Do I have to tell you what comes through the cell phone sometimes? My cell phone. I get SMSs, I don't know from where, with the most disgusting things in the world. So, we can take an attitude, let's take it all out. But in this day and age, in 2009, if you don't have a TV, it's going to come through the internet. If it doesn't come through the internet, it's going to come through the cell phone. And if it doesn't come through all those, then your kids will find a way to get it some other way. I believe that the way we have to educate our next generation is to say it's not enough to be a Jew and have five senses. We have to have a sixth sense. What's the sixth sense called? Havdalah. Distinction. Borer. Hamavdil ben kodesh lechol. Don't put Dina in a suitcase. Let her see Esav. Let her know how to deal with an Esav. Don't say to Yosef, don't dream. Dream. Think about the beautiful world in which the television would be beautifully kadosh. You'd put it on. You'd start the morning with the shir and gemara. You'd end the evening with the shir and tanach. They'd be proper news in which that you wouldn't have garbage and rechilus and lashon hara, but a news that would give you the news. And the news would not only say the scandals, it would also say today, in this place, everything was okay. Imagine an internet in which all you have on the internet are kosher sites. Imagine the dream. That's, in my opinion, the way that we have to now go ahead and rule our lives. It's true, there are people that believe that the way of putting someone in a suitcase and shutting out the world is the way to go. But I'll tell you the truth. If they were 100% successful, I'd sign up. They're not. And we're not 100% successful in the way I'm presenting. There's challenges on both sides. But ultimately, I believe that in 2009 we have no choice. Because of the way the technology world works, we have to go ahead and find ways to develop within ourselves and within our kids this sense of distinction between the garbage and the good stuff. Between what's not proper and not distinguished enough to enter my home and to what is. And I'll just end with a little story that happened in my house this week. It's now Erev Chanukah. You know the way schools work in Israel? It's very easy. Take a Gan Yeladim. The Gan Yeladim, before Pesach, starts telling the kids that Pesach is coming. By the time the Seder came, they already did a model Seder, they drank the four cups of wine, they had matzah, they hid the afikomen, they may have even gotten a present. When you get to the Seder, they say, hey Dad, we already did this. The same thing happens now with Chanukah. They've already sung all the songs of Chanukah. They've already done a misibah, they know the whole story of Chanukah. They lit the candles, they made the menorah. By the time Chanukah comes, they say, Shein genuk, we've done this already. So now it's Erev Chanukah in Israel for the last month. Sufganiyot have been in the market how long already? I've never seen, I don't know why, but the Sufganiyot start Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. It's hilarious. Anyway, my kid comes home and starts singing a song, Ma'os Tzur, and she starts singing it in words I never heard before. So I start listening, and she basically, in this song, makes fun of Antiochus and something else. They change the words around. Bottom line is, she started singing a song called Ma'os Tzur, which is a holy song that we've sung for generations, and we lit the menorah, and she changed the words to make it funny and cynical and whatnot. I say to my five-year-old, where did you hear that song? She told me from this boy and from this boy in Ghana. What should my approach be? One approach is to put her in a suitcase. Snatch her out of there. Say, you're going to be homeschooled. God forbid, you're co-ed. Go ahead and forget it. But I decided to follow in the footsteps of what I thought was Yosef in the sense of distinction. And I told her, listen, you're going to hear many songs like that. Even worse than what you just heard. You have to know how to hear things with this ear and let it stay in your brain, but sometimes hear things with this ear and let it go out the other ear. You have to have that sense of distinction to know what do you repeat and what do you forget about instantly because it's garbage, it's a joke. And I explained, Ma'os Tzur is a holy song. We don't go ahead and tamper with it. And it's up to you to have that sense of distinction. And to show her my point, I opened up the internet. And I went on to Google. And Google, you went on to Google Video. And my daughter, amongst many things, likes Dora the Explorer, which is a wonderful educational show. You should watch it with your kids. Dora the Explorer, beautiful. There's nothing bad in it. There's no... That the biggest problem is someone's... A cat is stranded and they have to take it down. I mean, it's beautiful. And I went on the internet and I put Dora. And the first hit was a Dora. Someone uploaded it. My wife makes a field day on that. She's an intellectual property lawyer. She's going to right away... She's going to get them for copyright. Okay. The second one was not bad. The third one, they took the words of Dora. No, it's the movie. And they, what is it called when you change the words?
Parody.
They started parodying the words. And ultimately came out the most vulgarity I've ever heard. I said, here, this is your Dora. This is your Dora. The Dora that we like, that we allow in the house. Look, same internet. The two things are happening. You have to know what's garbage and what's not. And you're going to keep on seeing this. With the songs they make up, with other things that happen. It's up to you to have the sense of distinction. Now she's 5 years old. The worst she's going to hear is Antiochus HaRasha maybe, and that's it. But the bottom line is, it's going to go through life. And it's going to seep into our homes. It's going to seep into our communities. It's going to seep in everywhere. And if you want a good proof of this, I was once stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic right over the under the overpass to Williamsburg in New York. And I saw Satmar Hasidim on the overpass reading a newspaper. You know what they were reading? They weren't reading the Morning Journal. And they weren't reading the Modia. And they were not reading Yated Ne'eman. God forbid, they wouldn't read Yated Ne'eman Lutvakin. You know what they were reading? The Daily News. Now, I was in America till 11, as I told you, Bruce. You know what my teacher used to call the Daily News in America? You got it. The Daily News. He had the same teacher. And I see them reading it. So the Satmar Hasidim, which we would think shut out the world, dressed like they used to dress, they're reading the Daily News. So if that's happening, you're going to really believe that it's not going to seep into our communities? Of course it is. We have to develop that sense of distinction. That sense of distinction of... No, you're never going to be able to be safe by Yeshiv Yaakov, Be'eretz Migulei Avi. You're only going to be safe if you understand that life is full of challenges and there's no safe way but to develop the sense of this. Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. You know what that means? It means that whatever happens by the Goyim will